TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at tntradio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. This is Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast with Joseph Arthur and Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Robot dogs with guns. People wanting clean blood, not that vaccinated stuff. Carrie Lake is exploring every avenue for the legal challenges over the Arizona election. How about you? DeSantis has a strong lead over Trump in a new 2024 primary poll. Adam Ruckus Clark is here to talk about it with a light touch, carrying the heaviness of his amazing soul. It's Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast on TNT Radio with Adam Ruckus Clark. Joseph Arthur Technicolor Dreamcast on TNT Radio. Hello, Adam Ruckus Clark. What is up, my brother? How are you?
Hi, Joseph. I imagine I was doing quite well until I heard something about robots with machine guns. a little nervous about that part, but other than that, what a gorgeous song there. Way to deal the headlines.
Thank you,
no
my
one does
friend.
It quite like Joseph Arthur. That's right, man.
Well, thank
I don't
you,
think anyone
friend.
Else on the well, planet does that. That I'm aware of. No one else sings the headlines. So, bam, original.
Yeah, that's new. That's thank you. Well, good, man. We aim to be original and we aim to entertain. So I'm glad, my friend. It's always nice to hear your voice. This is what you're talking about here. Boston Dynamics, the company behind the creepy robot dogs, deployed briefly by the NYPD last year, has accused a competitor of ripping off its designs and allowing them to be weaponized. Go figure, Ruckus. Like, we couldn't see this one coming. I think most of us have seen those creepy robot dogs. If you haven't, it's a Google search away. But, you know, keep listening to TNT while you Google search. Boston Dynamics filed a lawsuit in a Delaware court this week against Philadelphia-based Ghost Robotics. That's not creepy. alleging that the firm violated Boston Dynamics patents on its quadrupedal robot design, even as it makes them available to be deployed for violent purposes. You know, I'm blackpilling. I'll blackpill you, Ruckus, on this before I even let you chime in. This would be a great setup for Boston Dynamics to create this sort of ghost company. Hey, what should we call our ghost company? Let's call it Ghost. Hey, that's a good idea.
Oh,
and then
dude.
This one will be our weaponized one. But we're going to get outraged when they have guns on them. We'll be outraged so that people won't sniff us out. And that thought just occurred to me. But regardless, I mean, when we see these creepy Terminator robot things, it's not hard to imagine a weapon on them. And now you don't have to, because now they exist. Go figure. Ruckus, chime in on this. I can't wait to get your take.
Man, you just, dude, my tinfoil hat off to you, sir. That was brilliant.
Wow.
Because I was thinking the exact same thing, dude.
That's
man.
That's funny.
This is one of those
Are you saying the student is now the master?
That's right. He just took the words right out of my mouth a second time. Look at this. My work here is done, folks. This might be the retirement of Ruckus.
No.
That Joseph doesn't need me anymore.
No. I need you,
no, that's
dude.
Brilliant.
I still have the TJ Maxx version. I'll need you.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll help you with
think?
Your pronunciations
no,
because it's quadrupedal. So there you go.
Quadrupedal. Okay, thank you, sir.
So ghost robotics. There we go. They already have a contract with the U.S. Air Force. I've seen these people. Huh. These are the ones I saw. The Air Force revealed. This was just last year, I think, at a trade show in Washington, D.C., and it's absolutely frightening looking. I thought that the Boston Dynamics dog ones were creepy. No, the militarized, sleeked down, weaponized one is like straight out of a nightmare or a Black Mirror episode, dude. It is crazy. So, yeah, good on if this is all above board. Good on Boston Dynamics filing a lawsuit about this, but I'm with you, dude. I think this is all for show. They're just the CYA, cover your ass. I think you nailed it, dude. I think that this is just a little ghost company of theirs. And, dude, yeah, come on, dude. Couldn't they at least come up with a better name? It's a little too freaking obvious, right, dude. I mean, you look at this, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. No lie. So, yeah.
It is, yeah. I mean, it seems like they're trolling almost. But regardless, you know, the real scary bit is that there are going to be weaponized robots around us really, really soon. And it's just going to happen. I mean, listen, Arizona, right around where I live, because I live right down the street from ASU, there's all these robot food delivery things. And they're just roaming around. And I saw it for the first time, you know, a few weeks back, maybe a couple months ago. I don't know. Time is a blur. And I was like, oh, what's that? Oh, that's just the robot food delivery services. Really? Just standalone robots just going slowly along. And you see them all over the place. I mean, I never saw that in New York. I'm sure New York has it now too, probably. But, you know, and then pretty soon that's what's going to happen. We're going to see robot dogs wandering around. And you know, how long till you get a headline about some robot accidentally gunning someone down, or, you know, who knows? But we're heading towards Terminator land. That's for sure.
It's pretty wild, yeah. I remember the argument back in the day about robots. Robots are coming for your jobs. And I used to joke about it, but it's true. But it's just the way that it's happened has been much more of a slow boil than like the obvious thing. There's been various little things along the way that have been slowly replaced by robots. Especially when it comes to, you look at our world and the way everything is made, and we're very consumer oriented here. You ever seen this documentary series? It's on like the, I don't know what channels they're on, but it's called How It's Made. It's like what Discovery Channel type of thing. Have you ever seen that show or heard of it?
No.
Okay, so they basically just go into all of these assembly line places where they mass produce stuff, and they show you how it's made. It's really actually very fascinating and neat. But after watching just a few of those, you realize like, oh wow, you know, we're just a bunch of like, this is what we do. This is what humanity is about. At the end of the day, we all consume this mass produced crap, and we don't even know how it's made. And then you look at how it's made and you're like, wow. So, but all these little processes along the way, when they mass produce these things, each one has been slowly like replaced by robot arms and computers and moving platforms and various robotic things. And then you look at like Amazon, right? And then they have everybody ordering online, and now you got rid of the brick stores and you got rid of all the human employees there, right? And now a lot of the tasks happening inside the Amazon warehouse are being run by robots, including they're running around and they got like these little forklift robots now running around on the floors, picking up pallets and delivering things to the various stations. But now at the stations where the humans used to be sorting the packages and setting them up and putting them on the conveyor belts and whatnot, they're replacing that now too. So it's just like they keep replacing these little things. And before you know it, like all the humans are gone. There's a big debate right now about whether or not they're going to get away with the whole driverless cars thing. It doesn't seem very feasible from what I can tell, but if they have their way, pretty soon they're going to, I mean, one of the hardest, oldest running industries in America are truck drivers. Yeah. And you think as a truck, do you ever think as a truck driver, you'd be like, when people are saying, oh, one day robots are going to take over jobs, you're probably as a truck driver like, they ain't never going to have a robot replace my job. You probably were pretty dang cocky that your job was never going to be replaced by a robot. But it's just one of many instances. I mean, we got the Flippy robot. That's the biggest example right there. We have a freaking robot that flips hamburgers at restaurants. Okay.
Really?
So, I mean, yeah, you didn't know about Flippy the robot? That's the big one. That's the classic. Oh, wow. You got to look at this guy. It just looks like a normal. Well, you've seen a robot arm. You've seen a million robot arms, right? It looks actually very similar to the one that I saw in the promotional video for Elon Musk's Neuralink chip, because he wants one of these like robot arms to be the one that installs the chip into your brain. No, thank you.
Huh. Why don't you think the driverless car thing will take off? I would think that would be sort of an obvious one that would take off. I mean, they already have it. People are already like, you know, falling asleep in their Teslas and going from point A to point B. Certainly, if they can make that stretch across America, the trucking industry will become way more efficient. Not that I'm rooting for it, because I think it's more important that people get to be employed and our economy keeps running in a way that humanity doesn't descend into some dystopian nightmare. But that being said, it seems like driverless cars are, sort of locked into the very near future. Why do you say you don't think that one will go through?
No, I think current infrastructure is not feasible. It's not doable. I mean, we're talking about, we have to redo a lot of things across America. And this is just one country as one example. I just think there's so many moving parts involved with this. It's not going to happen nearly as fast as some people are scared it's going to happen. But you're right. It's definitely going to happen. But the trucking, that's a big one. That's a big hurt. On the American
it's huge.
Economy
oh, yeah.
and our way of life and everything.
Well,
it's a tradition.
I mean, well, it's beyond just the truck drivers. It's all the truck stops. It's all the diners along the highway. I mean, it's a huge, I obviously don't know the numbers of how many people are employed because of the trucking industry, but it's countless. I mean, it's a significant portion of America. You know, if you think about all the people that work at all the places that facilitate the trucking industry, but that's why it's, you know, the efficiency of driverless trucks doing all those things for you means they never have to take bathroom breaks. They never have to go hang out with Flo over at Mel's Diner and all the rest of it, all those stories all across the highways of America. You know, it's too bad, because that's the heart and soul of the country in a way.
Yeah. Well, if they lose their jobs, they can always get a job at Twitter, I suppose, or they could just move to San Francisco Bay Area and identify as non-binary, non-conforming,
true,
or transsexual, and just collect some free money. You know, it's all good.
Or learn to code, man. Just learn to code. Isn't that the one? Isn't that the one that you're not allowed to
every
say
trucker,
that?
Every trucker in America dreams he had more time to sit at home and learn how to code.
Now he does. Well, all right, dude. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has a 7-point lead over former President Donald Trump in the Republican voters want to see as their party's 2024 presidential nominee, according to a new poll released this week. DeSantis has a strong lead over Trump. It seems like whatever the powers that be that control the information superhighways have decided, you know, one of those Colosseum things, thumb down on Trump, thumb up on DeSantis. It seems like this is the information we're getting fed over and over again. Why do you think that is, Ruckus? What's your black pill theory on why DeSantis is getting picked?
Why DeSantis is getting picked? Over Trump, as far as like the media and the Republicans.
Well, the media. I mean, even Trump's media that would normally be for him has turned their back on him. I mean, it seems like Trump is, getting a lot of rejection at this point. I mean, he's kind of becoming the underdog in a strange way.
Here's some information, and maybe you and or the listeners can decide if this means anything. Ken Griffin is Ron DeSantis's biggest donor. He's donated $5 million. Am I reading this right? $5 million to DeSantis. He is the founder of Citadel Capital. Yes, that Citadel, the multi-billion-dollar Wall Street firm that was the main target of the GameStop short squeeze, who also pressured Robinhood to stop the GameStop trading. Ken Griffin stated in 2017 that he was, quote-unquote, terrified about the political hardline against immigrants in the U.S. He also disagreed with DeSantis' move to fly nearly 50 Venezuelan migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. Interesting. We have another guy who's a big donator, $800,000 to DeSantis from WeatherTech founder David McNeil. And then we have Wall Street hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones. He's a billionaire DeSantis backer. He's given $1 million to the Florida governor. So it just looks to me like some of the people who are throwing money at DeSantis have some pretty big sway in the world. They're billionaires. Mm. So with globalist agendas, I might add, all of them.
Yeah, and DeSantis is a young guy. I didn't realize. He's only 42 years old, I think I heard. I mean, that's pretty young, you know?
He is young.
I guess, yeah. That's young.
Maybe. How old are you, Ruckus? What they say. How old am I? I have to do the math. 46. So, yeah.
So you're a young guy, too. You're a youngin'.
Ooh. Maybe I should run for president.
Little young guy. Yeah. It's weird when presidential candidates start being younger than you. That's a head trip. I'm 51. I hear about DeSantis being 42, and I'm thinking, this whippersnapper, who does he think he is? We'll find out who he thinks he is and much, much more right after these words on TNT.
TNT Radio's Lynn Shaw.
Let's face it, we live in a digital world and it's not going away. We live in, actually, I call it a TikTok world. Now that they're the number one platform, they will be going up against Amazon. They're going to create the TikTok shop. So while our kids are spending upwards of 11, 12 hours a day, did you hear that, Warriors? 11, 12 hours a day. I don't know how the kids, they have to go to school, eat, sleep. This is an addiction. And now they're going to have shopping so they can swipe and they can spend money. That is why parents and caregivers, and this is not to blame, all of this is a runaway train that has been going on since the internet hit the ground in 1996. And it's the genie out of the bottle, and it's that runaway train, and the law always lags behind technology. That is why it is important for each and every one of you to know what's going on. Very simple. Sit down with your kids for 5 minutes a day. You got to start somewhere. 5 minutes, all right? We know everybody's busy. This is the number one crime. It must be addressed. Talk to them. What platforms are you on? What apps are you using? Do you talk to strangers? It's got to start somewhere. I can't urge more.
Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. Australia and the UK are taking control of their domestic internet. What's next for the US? Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Joseph Arthur Technicolor Dreamcast here with Adam Ruckus Clark. So, Ruckus, we were talking about DeSantis versus Trump. One thing that's interesting about Trump's speech as well, or I should say one of the other things, one of the many things, is the reaction from people who support the Q theories. There was a lot of unrest in that segment of society because him making that presidential bid announcement was sort of going against the narrative that he remains the actual commander in chief. I don't really know all the ins and outs of the philosophy around all that stuff. I don't know if you know more than I do about it, but if you, and or if you've picked up on any of that interesting component of what's happening in this information war we find ourselves in.
I see what you're saying. I'm not, you know, I wasn't very big into the whole Q mythology until, you know, I started doing this basically. So I've learned a bit about it, but yeah, I think you're right. I think that that's one of their faith core beliefs, is that, you know, all of this is a sham, that Trump's still president, everything is still good, and that, you know, the Biden's a fake Biden, and the world isn't ready for the truth, and all the elites have been arrested, all this crazy crap, whatever, baloney, trust right. the plan. Yeah, so I think you're right on that. So so the Q-tards got upset, huh?
Yeah, there's unrest there. And then there's also like, you know, the eagle and the flag was facing one way, which means only a president, you know, this kind of stuff, real hyper analysis of details like that, that are like hints towards a different story than the one that's at face value. I mean, what do you think motivates that? And do you think that there's no reality to it at all in your view?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, I think the biggest thing that serves is, other than a giant waste of people's time, is discredit any real scrutiny towards certain things. It's the classic. This is why we have the tinfoil hat conspiracy theory trope, you know.
Tag. Yeah,
exactly. And now, you know, and then we've seen all the variations of them now, haven't we? And like, I think I was right. pointing this out the other day. We had the anti thing going on for a while, right? So you were an anti-masker or anti-science, yeah. anti-vaxxer, anti-lockdowns. And then now it's denial. Now it's all about denying. So now you deny the election. And that's the big one. That's something I've been noticing. I'm like, huh, this is just, it's so pervasive. It's everywhere. It's coming from like, even the freaking, the Republican, the mainstream, like conservative outlets, when they can't say Carrie Lake. Every headline says election denier
election
Carrie
denier.
Lake.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not her full name. But that's the way they, all of them are acting. I'm just like, dude, drop that already. Get over it. What are you doing? Repetition.
Speaking of anti-vaxxers are trying to create a new global infrastructure for the supply of unvaccinated blood, driven by conspiracy theories and pseudoscientific beliefs. This is according to a Vice article. More on this later, but you know, their tone is interesting here too, and something we should pick apart about the dangers of mRNA COVID vaccines. Safe blood donation was founded by Swiss naturopath George Della Pietra, who considers global coronavirus vaccination campaigns to be the crime of the century. He and his supporters believe wrongly that mRNA coronavirus vaccines contaminate the blood and destroy the immune system, and the unvaccinated people will be harmed if they receive transfusions of blood supplied by vaccinated people. That's not me saying wrongly, that's Vice magazine. So it's interesting that Vice is leaning hard into the old school narrative that there's absolutely nothing wrong with mRNA technology and the coronavirus vaccines. I think that's an absurd statement to make. But what do you think about this, that there's a clean blood market starting to prop up?
I freaking love this. This is the type of thing. This is where the positive comes out of the negative, right? And shows like this. This is the ultimate vote with your wallet kind of thing, right? Vote with your feet, or what's the expression? I think those are both expressions, right?
Vote this with is your pocketbook.
This is yeah. There you go. This is a clear sign to everybody that people are concerned. First of all, that's you know what I mean. that people are worried about what's in the blood thanks to these vaccines. And that's because of like these whistleblowers, like, holy moly, what's the funeral director? Well, there's that big
Richard
guy. Richard Hirschman's the embalmer, but there's the other guy. There's a funeral director who's been making the rounds recently. He was just on one of the TNT shows, so I'm totally whiffling this, and so I do apologize, but folks know exactly who I'm talking about, I'm sure. But yeah, folks like them, I've been going around and showing these nasty blood clots. So people are actually concerned now with what might be inside these things, and this becomes a risk when it comes to like blood transfusions and stuff like that, right? So what do you think is going to happen? It's like when you have the where you would normally go to donate blood, right? The mainstream narrative, people are being told that, oh, you're a silly, cuckoo, nonsense, anti-vaxxer, anti-science nutcake if you want to question who the blood donor is. Like, let's say your child needs a life-saving transfusion, and as a parent, you make the request that you want unvaccinated blood. Okay, well, the blood banks are just going to tell you, oh, sorry, you're crazy, F off with that. Where do you turn to? So they need this. They need to create an industry where they can, you know, do this. This is great. Safe blood. So that's definitely something.
Safe blood, yeah.
I am behind. However, at the same time, I did read some news recently that they're also working on artificial blood. So maybe I'm just, here's my black pill on this. Maybe one day the American Red Cross and all of these people, the blood banks will come forward and say, hey, listen, we can no longer accept this blood. It's been tainted by whatever, you know, something's going on. You know, maybe by then Pfizer and Moderna will be locked up. We'll see. But we'll have a problem with the blood. So what's their solution? Their solution is always a technologically advanced one. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if, quote unquote, the science offers up some new weird thing like artificial blood. No thanks.
Get your artificial blood. One size fits all. We'll be right back after the headlines on TNT.
Taking a look at your TNT radio news headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced she will step down after 2 decades as the Democratic Party's leader in the chamber. A Dutch court has found 3 men guilty of murder for shooting down a passenger jet over eastern Ukraine in 2014, killing 298 people on flight MH17. And UK Chancellor Jeremy Hunt has vowed to restore the country's fiscal reputation with new taxes and spending cuts as the country plunges into recession.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Adam Ruckus Clark. I'm Joseph Arthur. It's strange, Vice, though. I thought they were like edgy and alternative in a way, but I guess not. They just must have been usurped by mainstream interest, or were just always that way, and I misunderstood what they were about. Is that surprising you that that's Vice's take? I mean, that's pretty hard-lined towards the old school narrative. Not even a lot of mainstream publications are being that sort of hard-lined about it.
What do you mean? I'm sorry. What is Vice's specific
The blood article. They just said anyone who has any concerns about vaccinated blood is essentially crazy, is what they said.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing. So I was just surprised they were so hard-lined about that. I mean, they could have intimated it much softer, in other words, and they were very hard-lined about it, as if this was a year ago or something. So, and I'm surprised because Vice. Yeah. The sort of reputation I've had of them, or where they resided in my mind, was this sort of edgy publication that sort of was somewhat alternative, but I guess not.
Yeah, those days have been long gone. Okay. No, that rag died during the pandemic, 100%. Sorry, I guess you just didn't realize it. Yeah. No, they're 100% on board with the main hardline narrative about all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Did they get co-opted or what happened? Do you know the story behind that? Or were they always like that?
I wasn't a huge, huge fan of theirs. Isn't like Gavin McInnes somehow involved with the creation of
it? Yeah, he started.
But he's not anymore. Yeah.
Exactly.
But he left, right? Yeah. Maybe it got bad when he left. I don't know. Maybe there's some bigger vice fans out there. I think that dude's pretty funny, actually. I haven't seen him or seen his stuff in a while. I know he's quite controversial and got himself kind of wrapped up there with the Proud Boys stuff. So that's when I kind of lost track of him. But I liked when he was running around being like a talking political pundit on like Fox News and stuff like that and doing his comedy bits. Always got a kick out of that guy. But yeah. Have not kept
well, there was
track
just a story
since.
Recently that I heard that the Proud Boys had feds in them. Even like the head of it was a fed, and in the Oath Keepers, the same thing. These were just like psyops or whatever, just FBI organizations. Essentially,
All these groups have absolutely been infiltrated by informants left and right, and the ones who weren't already eventually become them. So, to each their own. I stay away from all of that crap, Probably the same thing with that whole Q crowd, too, So, watch your backs out there, folks.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a club. I have no interest in it. It's not that, I don't know. I love being in the club of TNT Radio, but that's different. That's not a club, It's a... it's a station, it feels good to be a member of that team,
but
that's as far as it goes for me. Or I'll be in a band, I'd be in a band and make some music with some people, but a club, I don't want to join an organization on either side of the political spectrum. What do you think causes people to join things like Proud Boys or Oath Keepers or Antifa, or like who becomes members of these strange fraternities or sororities or whatever, clubs, political
or
movements,
cults.
Yeah. What do you think basically. That is? Do you have any interest in that?
Oh, me? No. But I think a lot of this has to do with, you know what? In a way, this is kind of a club or a community. Let's say you might belong to a community for an NFT or cryptocurrency project, right?
Yeah, I like that.
You might belong
but that's light.
To. I know you might belong to a Discord server where you hang out all day chit chatting away, like me and some of my friends do. We belong to an informal club known as the Social Rejects Club. Over there at Alternate Current Radio. But as far as like some of these bigger things, people who like just really, really get into these things and would probably be susceptible to joining cults in real life. I think it's just they're chasing a hole in their life. Something is clearly missing, whether they don't have like a family life or they don't have like very many friends, or maybe they just don't like their job, or they're not a religious person, so they don't go to church. And I think a lot of it is actually a replacement for religion. People need some sort of order and belief system to obey and follow and do the things, whatever that might be, the traditions, the rituals, the sacraments, the prayers are all replaced in people's lives with something else if they don't do those things. And that's my theory about most of that stuff.
Yeah, and no hate or judgment, by the way, if that is your thing.
No.
I'm not saying it in a judgmental way necessarily, although these clubs that I just mentioned, some are FBI psyops or whatever, and Antifa seems to be up to no good most of the time from what I can tell. But, it's so I'm not judging people that do join those because I think people need purpose, so I think it fills that void. And perhaps, is there an example of clubs that have done net positives as opposed to, they seem to all descend into some sort of negative thing, though.
Well, look what the Freemasons did, dude. They control the whole world. Ba-dum-bum.
My point exactly.
These, Yeah, I know. So, yeah, the more secretive they are, the more dangerous they become. That's for sure, historically speaking, anyways. The ones that are these the activist groups, right? The more like these the more Proud Boy types or whatever. They're really well-meaning, passionate people that maybe instead should, I don't know, join political office and invoke a real change with the country as far as laws are concerned. Maybe become an inspiring member of their community if they want to invoke a real change in their personal neighborhood that they live and, you know, commence their lives within. You know, there's so many options. Some of these people are actually just, some of them are out LARPing around carrying guns. Why don't they become law enforcement or join the military or become like a bounty hunter or do something productive like that? But instead, these groups just, you know, suck away all of that energy.
Bounty hunter.
Yeah, why not? If you ever want to be a bounty hunter? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a bounty hunter. And then yeah. I realized, oh, God, when I was 18 years old by then, I realized, oh, I'm That'd never going to be anything dude. More than like a 98-pound weakling. So, skinny dude.
Well,
no bounty hunter speaking, for Rex.
Speaking of somebody who did try to join the political realm instead of a club was Republican Carrie Lake is planning legal challenges to the Arizona election after her projected loss to Democrat candidate and Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. Multiple outlets called the Arizona gubernatorial race. There I went. Boom. Do you see that? Gubernatorial race for Hobbs on Monday. After nearly a week of counting ballots showed her with what is projected to be an insurmountable lead over Lake. I don't know, man. I don't think this is going to go well. I'm no expert here, but just the smear campaign is relentless. And I don't know. Do you know anything about this? Do you see this benefiting her in any way? Or is this just... posturing basically at this point?
She seems pretty serious about trying to get a recount or something going. This is getting to be one of those sticky, potentially dangerous situations if a whole bunch of people start flooding that area from all across the country to well-meaningly, I'm sure, throw their support behind Carrie Lake. Because she is a Trump gal. She's Trump in heels, right? That's what we hear. I saw our friend Hesher caught wind of like in a totally like anonymous memo that's being circulated and pushed by some a few people who we know to have proven themselves to be, let's just say, shady in the alternative media business, ones who have gotten themselves hooked up with certain causes and movements that became incendiary and cost people their lives. So I would hate to see a repeat of stuff that we saw maybe like at the Mueller wildlife situation is one example that comes to mind. So just be careful out there, folks. If you don't live in Maricopa County, if this does not directly affect you, you probably should not be getting hooked up with any weird, shady, like protest events. Just look what happened on Jan 6. Okay. I'm just throwing this out there, folks. Be aware. Now, if Carrie Lake has some official thing scheduled and the Republican Party out there, something officially scheduled in a party or something, and you want to attend, do that. But if you live in Timbuktu across the country, there's no reason for you to show up with your AR-15, okay? It's not going to help the situation. That's all I'm saying.
What can people do that feel like their votes are being stolen from them, though? I mean, it does seem to be kind of a hopeless situation in terms of any real response for those of us that think there's shady business happening around these things now.
I don't know, because I feel like that all of the tools that were provided to the people to rightly contest this with take legal action, that it just gets blocked and stopped all along the way. It really does feel like there's nothing you can do. You know what I mean? It's terrible to say that, but... Well, yeah, I don't know. That's the eternal question. What can we do? And technically, the things that ultimately, I'm not saying this is what we all should do, but In, let's say this was a fictional setting, if there was a country that was founded by a constitution similar to our own and had a history similar to our own, but I'm talking about a fictional country here, when the government gets so overreaching with their power, they're in this fictional country, of course, not ours. There's this fictional constitutional document that says the people have the right to overthrow and start a new government. Clearly, we would never do anything like that here, and no one here at TNT Radio would suggest anything of the such. But I'm saying in this fictional setting where these tools were put in place, I don't know, Joseph, what can we do, bro? this is exactly what we were warned about. I think we just let ourselves get too far to that point where, I'm sorry, we gave up our power, we gave up our rights, we gave up our freedom. There's not enough of the population that cares enough about those things to risk their lives and try to say, you know what, no more, we're drawing a line, this is, you know, come and get it, you know. That's as close as it's going to get. And that's where they want it to go. They want everybody to be so on edge and so angry that, boom, there's utter chaos and somebody or something sweeps in as the ultimate solution.
Yeah, it just seems like we need voter reform, but there's so many people preventing that from happening, and they're the ones in power perpetually. So I don't know, it feels like it's this is the threat on democracy as far as I can tell, but then that makes me an election denier. But it
power,
it's like with Carrie Lake, it's like, I mean, I know followers don't equal votes, but she had something like, I think, 600,000 social media followers on Instagram. I mean, I'm somewhat making these numbers up, but not totally. This is around the number. It was a lot compared to Katie Hobbs, who had like less than 10,000. And, you know, she was just wildly popular in a state that went Republican in other races by large degrees, you know. So it's just, I don't know, man, to question this election and the fact that it took so long to count the votes and the fact that Katie Hobbs is Secretary of State overseeing the votes, you know, it's just, there's so many red flags there that it's just common sense to question it. It's not crazy to question it. You know, it's like what Chappelle said about his joke about Jews in Hollywood. It's not crazy to notice that there's a lot of Jews in Hollywood in power. It's just crazy to say it out loud, that funny bit, you know. Same thing with this. It's not crazy to question it. It just happens to be we live in a world where it's crazy to say it out loud. Call me crazy. You know,
yeah, crazy. But here's what we can do, Joseph. We can pray that, you know, that the evidence is presented and that there's no shenanigans that prevents the evidence from being presented. And then the truth is the truth. Whatever will be, will be. We'll let the chips fall there. But that process is what's going to get interfered with. So we need to pray that the wicked arrows that are being slung against the process fail so that the process can move forward. That's all we can do.
Ruckus says the power of prayer. I agree. Let's all pray and listen to these words on TNT.
In the You Can't Make This Up category, the UN Climate Summit in Egypt featured a new climate religion replacing traditional religions.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The UN summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, was also home to the Climate Ten Commandments at nearby Mount Sinai and a climate repentance ceremony. If anyone doubted that climate change is a new religion, look no further than the UN Climate Summit. Author Michael Crichton warned us about this development 2 decades ago when he claimed environmentalism was the new religion for urban atheists. But sadly, the UN Climate Summit really isn't about earth worship. It's about worshiping money, power, and ending democracies, as this summit featured the morphing of COVID and climate in massive sums of new climate pledges. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Are you finding it harder to do the things you used to do, like vacuuming or getting to appointments? If you need a bit of support at home, the Australian Government's My Aged Care is your starting point to access services. You'll find all the information and advice you need in the one place. To find out about other services, eligibility and costs, call 1-800-200-422 or go to myagedcare.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra, spoken by Heather Christie.
The Congo provides 60% of the world's cobalt. Children as young as 7 breathe in cobalt-laden dust so you can drive an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, here with Adam Ruckus Clark. Election deniers are everywhere. Even Breitbart is getting in on the scoop. Meet election denier Hakeem Jeffries, frontrunner for House Democrat leader. Rep. Hakeem Jeffries appears to be the frontrunner to replace Nancy Pelosi as House Democrat leader, even though he is an election denier. Breitbart's getting in on this game, Ruckus. The article goes on to say, Jeffries has denied the outcome of the 2016 election. In 2020, Jeffries tweeted that former President Donald Trump will never be accepted as a legitimate president. So what do you think to this, Breitbart trying to use the left's tricks on them? I think this seems to be a backfiring angle, if you ask me. But what's your take on this?
Wait, I'm so confused. So he's an election denier about Trump.
Breitbart is trying to use their weapons against them, basically saying this guy, the guy who's set up to replace Pelosi, is an election denier. So they're trying to invert the smear back on them.
Kind of funny, Breitbart. Nice. No, I think it's not going to help. Because we need to get rid of this whole concept of election denial,
exactly.
Period. But
right.
But okay, well, all right. Hesher, second time I brought him up. Now he has on his soundboard. I've heard parts of it, but he has like a whole like 10 minutes worth of like all of these people talking about like you know this kind of stuff. You know, all the stuff that they condemn one side for. They encourage their side to do. You know, it's like rules for thee, but not for me, all the time. A bunch of hypocrites back and forth. But, dude, man, this is just... Breitbart is just... It's political. It's political popcorn. It's all wrestling. It's all theater. It's all nonsense. Breitbart would not exist as a news outlet if it was not for politics. You take politics out of it, and Breitbart is like, now what? Nothing. There's no Breitbart.
Well, to lighten up the conversation outside of all this election denier shenanigans, Switzerland legalizes suicide machine. Pod offers painless death in a minute with just a blink. This new euthanasia craze going on. I mean, I've even heard about it being applied to depressed teenagers and whatnot. I think I heard some reports about it in Canada. Now Switzerland is legalizing it, and they have this weird pod-like machine that looks like a spaceship. I mean, what is going on with humanity in this, man? I mean, this, you know, we're supposed to talk people out of committing suicide and talk about the gifts of life and how valuable and precious. It's like this is more degradation against basically the sacredness of life, really, this whole push towards euthanasia. Now, of course, if somebody's at the end of their life and they're in massive amounts of pain, you know, Kevorkian famously was the guy that would help people, you know, with humane end of life stuff. That's different. That's on a different level in my view. But that's not what this is. This new push towards euthanasia is about people who are just down on their luck, having a lot of emotional turmoil, and maybe they have some physical stuff. But yeah, what do you think to all this, Ruckus? Have you been paying attention to any of this?
Okay, so the suicide pods is something that we looked at a year or two ago on the Boiler Room. So I've seen the pods before. But what's new is that Switzerland has legalized this for public consumption, I guess. So it is a creepy looking thing, folks. You need to check this out. You can probably just Google suicide pod, and that will probably pop up right away. Probably immediately followed by
Switzerland suicide pod.
More than enough than you can handle of GIFs or pictures of, from Futurama of their ever popular suicide booth as featured in that animated series. And that's pretty much what this is. I caught something on the other day on one of my news feeds, and I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it because I've been using so many multiple browsers and multiple computers. This was just something that popped up on a regular computer or a browser I don't normally use. And I was like, what the heck is this? So I clicked into it, and it was a full story describing introducing the world to this man. He's just a normal dude, but he's choosing to end his own life using medically assisted suicide just to avoid living in poverty. He just doesn't want to be poor, so he's just going to end it all. And this is just totally encouraged. And wow,
yeah, it's just weird.
There's and to see this guy, you got this news reporter, this chick wearing like a full on like, you know, to the nines, wearing nice jewelry and this whole get up and this all the time and money and energy that went into producing this story about this man. Yet none of those people involved could just, hey, listen, man, why don't we just help you get on your feet so you don't have to kill yourself?
Exactly.
No, instead we're going to make a spectacle out of you and write a freaking article and make money off of it. How disgusting of a society is this? You know, so I don't know what to comment other than it's disgusting.
Well, do you remember that case that happened years ago where the two teenagers, the girlfriend encouraged her boyfriend or her friend who was a young kid to kill himself? And then she was, I think she got into serious legal trouble for that, you know, as she should. You know, of course, it's horrendous to do that. And, you know, these stories, I mean, life is hard. You know, life is famously hard. The road less traveled starts with the phrase life is difficult. It is. It's hard, man. There's a lot of times when you got to go through dark nights of the soul. You got to go through all kinds of journeys to get on your good foot and get positive. But so these stories that are recommending basically euthanasia to people, or as a suggestion or as a possibility, are really damaging, because, you know, it gives people going through really hard times the idea of, oh, this is acceptable behavior. And it's just not. It's not okay. And I kind of can't believe this is happening. You know, I mean, I sort of can believe just because I've been in this world and seen how we've descended into madness, but this is symptomatic of that madness run amok.
Yeah. And that article might seem appealing to somebody who's like, you know what? I just don't want to do this anymore. And I feel desperate, and this is an option. I had no idea. This looks great. This man looks like he's very happy with his decision. I might want to make that decision too. And here's the thing. Michelle Carter was her name, by the way, who in 2014 persuaded her boyfriend to kill himself in a series of texts. She was convicted of involuntary manslaughter, I think, in 2017. I don't. Somebody needs to follow up, but she was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. Who is the media? Is the writer of that piece who's showcasing this man who was going to end his life because he doesn't want to deal with poverty? Are they ever going to face repercussions in the future? Or are we going to see an opinion piece written by somebody like Emily Oster on The Atlantic and they're going to ask for amnesty? Oh, I'm so sorry that we convinced countless hundreds of God knows how many people to take their own lives because we just wanted something people could go on their social media feed and click on and read about, you know.
It's a disgusting suggestion to make to humanity, basically, because of course a lot of people won't go into a suicide pod. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will, but you get articles like this and you get these sort of news feeds about euthanasia and how it's an option, and it's like, people who are on the edge, they're more likely just to do it the old-fashioned way when they see it sort of, you know, co-signed, if you will, from the media, that it's a legitimate decision. It should never be legitimized as an exit into a difficulty you are facing in your life. Life is a series of difficulties That's what life is. It's on us to find the meaning within those difficulties and overcome them. And that's how we evolve our souls. You know, so for this suggestion to be propagated the way it is insane.
Now you just sound like a suicide denier, Joseph.
That'll be next, right?
That's a proud label to wear right there, folks. I'm a proud suicide denier. I am anti-suicide and proud of it. So,
I'm both anti-suicide. I know that went quick. And I wanted to talk about disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried and his Zelensky meeting. I guess that will have to happen tomorrow night. Join us again tomorrow night. Same place, same station. Keep listening to TNT. Ruckus, it is always a pleasure. I don't know if we have 30 seconds left or not, if you can say a little quick goodbye, but God bless you. Yeah, 30 seconds, Ruckus. What do you got for us?
God bless you. Don't forget, people, the future is going to happen either with you or to you. It's your choice.
And don't take the easy way out. Keep rocking. And we'll see you again tomorrow night. Keep listening to TNT. Bye, everybody.